The number of bike-sharing programs in the U.S. has boomed over the past year, expanding the options for people seeking short-term bike rentals beyond the major city-sponsored programs like New York's City Bike. But some cities are struggling to keep up with the proliferation of dockless bike-sharing systems, which let their users lock up wherever they find a public bike rack. As part of our series of conversations with leaders called View from the Top, we're joined now by Ryan Japetsky, who's founder and CEO of Jump Bikes, which has about 1,000 bikes on the road in several cities, including Washington, D.C. and San Francisco. Ryan, welcome, and tell us how your bikes work exactly.
Sure. So the bike has an integrated locking system with GPS tracking. And a lock, it's a lock that actually locks two bike racks. So the bike is, at the end of the trip, secured to a regular bike parking rack. Users can find and book it through the Jump app or through the Uber app, where they're presented with bikes as an option. And they can book it, go to the bike, enter a code, and unlock the bike. The bikes also have a motor on them, which makes them unique. So it's an electric assist bike. There's a torque sensor that measures how hard you're pedaling, and then it provides you a natural boost. Mm-hmm. Feels great. Feels like you're superhuman as you're going up hills or going long distances.
And you can go up to 20 miles an hour. How do you make sure that people are being safe when they do that?
Yeah, so the software regulates the assist so that it'll cut out at 20 miles per hour. The geometry of the bike is meant to ride in a upright position, so you have good visibility of things around you. And then, you know, you actually have to exert yourself pretty hard to hit that top speed. And so what we find is actually most people are going more like 10 to 15 miles an hour and sort of lightly exerting themselves and still getting the boost. The track record of safety in bike share in general has been quite good, and it's also been very good with our shared electric bikes.
Do you find that your customers are using helmets when they bike?
Some do. It is at the user's discretion. We recommend that people wear helmets, but it's their choice, and they would provide and bring their own helmet.
One of the criticisms of these dockless bike share programs is that the bikes end up getting left all over the city and they clog up the sidewalks. How big of a problem has that been for you, and what do you do about it?
Yeah, we've had actually much better rates of good parking and compliance because the bikes actually lock two racks. So we know the last user, how they lock the bike, and if they did something inappropriate, we can hold them accountable. On the other hand, the other bike share systems just lock the rear wheel, and so the bikes can fall over or somebody passing by can pick it up and knock it into somewhere that's inappropriate. So you actually don't have that accountability to know whether it was just somebody on the street that moved a bike mm-hmm. or knocked it over, or if it was the last user. So we actually, because of that, we have a much better compliance rate and much better accountability.
And how do you make sure that they're in places where people want them? Because if somebody can take them and drop them off somewhere else that they're going, how do you make sure that they're not left somewhere where they can't be gotten by the next customer?
Yeah, so we've had really high usage rates in each of our cities. In San Francisco, there's many days where we're hitting 10 trips per bike per day. And so we're launching in areas that have high demand, and we're seeing high turnover. So yes, if a bike sat for idle for a day or something like that, we're able to go out and pick it up or move it. But largely, the bikes have been circulating themselves and generating a lot of trips.
Are you able to make money just on people riding these bikes at this point?
Absolutely. So when you're doing 4 or 5, 6 or 10 trips per bike per day, like we're seeing in several of our cities, and you're getting, you know, an average fare of, say, $250 per trip, you're definitely operating a profitable business. That is a big difference and a big change to the industry. Previously in North America, it was something that either the capital cost or even the operations cost were subsidized by cities, whereas now it's moving toward this private model.
Do your bikes track location data of your users?
We track the bicycles, so the bike has an integrated GPS, and so we track our assets, we track the fleet. There's been talks about that that data being a primary way that companies are going to monetize. I don't think that's the case. I think it's primarily these user fees, and the data is useful to cities to understand where to put bike lanes and build bike infrastructure. It's useful to improve your operations. Thus far, I don't think there's been a huge amount of monetization of that data directly.
Do you plan to monetize that, to sell data in order to make money?
No, not in that way. Certainly to improve operations efficiencies. I can't speak for my competitors, but that is not the primary intent here.
What's your biggest challenge right now?
So cities have moved relatively quickly over the last year and a half to open up the market for dockless bike share. It's been really great to see the number of pilots or even scaled programs. But I still think there's some hesitancy to go big in some of the bigger cities. So, you know, doing a 200 bike pilot in a city is a great start. It's a way to learn and to build awareness. But really, there's a demand for several thousand or tens of thousands in some markets of shared electric bikes. So we're hoping that over the next year, we can move out of pilot phase and really scale up a lot of these cities.
And you'd have to get the cities basically to sign on for that. They're the ones placing these limits on you.
Yeah, so there's some regulatory hurdles that we're working with cities on, and you know, like I said, it's been moving very quickly, and now it's kind of moving out of pilot phase, hopefully, and into a scaled operation.
Do you expect that in 5 years that there are going to be as many dockless bikes as there are docked bikes in cities?
I think there'll be considerably more dockless bikes than docked bikes. The capital expense of a docked bike share system is really high. The technology for dockless has been around for several years, and now there's the business model that supports it. So I think the industry is very clearly moving in this direction. There may be some space for docked in terms of charging infrastructure for e-bikes. So there may be some amount of docks. Primarily, these fleets are going to be dockless rather than docked.
Well, and you certainly get a lot of basically free advertising because these bikes are being left all over the place. When people see them, they wonder, what's that? How do I get on one of those?
Yeah, it's a very natural customer acquisition where it's highly visible. You see it, you learn about it, you know, you hear about it from friends, and you sign up and you use it. You know, if you have a few bikes, in different parts of a neighborhood versus all of the bikes clustered in one station, you know, you're serving a much broader chunk of the community and making it more convenient for the riders.
That's Ryan Chepetsky, who is the founder and CEO of Jump Bikes. That's a dockless bike sharing program. Thanks so much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.